You can stand this morning. The ladies' day out is actually January 30th, not May 30th. So I thought we'd make that correction there. It's this coming Saturday. So we have been, this brother Leonardson, Scott Leonardson, had mentioned our church has been on a 21-day fast. And I've been preaching a series throughout this fast, beginning of January, on releasing the glory. The first message we had was pray, fast, expect. Then we started to set up for the fast with the testing begins. We talked about patience. We talked about the test of frustration. And due to the cancellation of services last weekend, due to the cold temperatures, I'm a few messages behind, and I'm going to catch up this evening with combining two of them, and I'll be speaking tonight on the topics of going on the offensive and our divine breakthrough. So we're going to combine those two messages for tonight, and you won't want to miss this. But reading this morning from our series scripture in Matthew 17, verses 19 through 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" I've given the backstory on this, and for those of you that this may be the first time you've heard this, the disciples were with Jesus. There was a man with demonic spirits. They attempted to try to cast out those spirits, and they were unsuccessful. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith, because you don't really believe that you can do it, and you don't believe that I can do it, that I have the ability. You don't believe in your God. That's what lack of faith really is, Brother Hawk, is not believing that God can do what he says he will do. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed. If you have faith as small as the head of a stick pin. If you have just enough faith that is as small, I don't know how much smaller of a seed you can get than a mustard seed, but it is a very tiny seed." So Jesus said, if you just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, or if you have faith the size of the head of a pin, you shall say unto this mountain, you shall say unto these demonic spirits, you shall say unto this whatever situation it is in your life, remove hence to yonder place. You can say to that situation in your life, get out and get out now. Get out now. And it shall get out now. It shall be for Boogie, and it shall get out. I'm feeling good this morning. And it shall remove and. I love this. I've been living on this for the last 2 weeks. And nothing. Say nothing shall be impossible to me. To me. Because he's writing that words to us. Howbeit, he puts there's a little clause there. The fine print, if you would say. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, or not out, but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. You may be seated. Calvary Gospel Church is on a mission. We are on a mission planned and orchestrated by God Almighty himself. I believe we are at an interceptive course with our divine, God-given destiny. God has promised that he would do great and mighty things among us as individuals, as families, as a church, and that he would show himself great in this city in which we live in and we minister in. We are on the very verge of the miraculous. I believe this in my spirit. I can feel this in my spirit of the supernatural outpouring of God's divine power and his divine glory. And this message, I believe, God has for you and I today. It's so very fitting as to where we are now and where God desires to lead us to. We have committed, each and every one of us, each and every family has committed to one of four different fasts for a period of 21 days. And I know many of you are doing very well, but some of you have struggled and have had to change or alter your commitment due to some physical difficulties. I know some of our young people have fasted for 4 days, the longest they've ever fasted in their life, but I want to take and applaud them for that, because that is quite an accomplishment. We have individuals that have fasted 15 and 16 days and have never fasted that long in their lives, and I want to applaud you, and I want to tell you that you can and you should and you will expect great things from God, because nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to us as far as it goes with the power and the Holy Ghost. I want to continue to encourage you today to focus on prayer. Perhaps if you're not able to continue the fast as you had set up, to maybe if you can even fast for one meal a day, if you're able to do that. See, the whole purpose of this fast is not to lose weight, even though that is an extra benefit of the fast. But the whole purpose of this weight or this fast is to break down. You can tell what my mind's on. I'm wearing a suit today that I haven't worn in some time, and it's actually kind of slim on me here, and I'm feeling good about that. I weigh less than my brother now, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. We'll have a way off after service there, John. His birthday's tomorrow, by the way. Happy birthday a day early. God has promised that if we commit to this process, he spoke to us at the very beginning in the tongues and interpretation, a prophecy, and he spoke to us and says, if you commit to this process, I will come running to you. And I believe and I desire to see God to do just that. We have just completed our second week, and we have one more week to go. There's a level of excitement. There's a level of anticipation that is in the air. And our theme this year is expect. And as we get into February, we'll be expounding more on the theme of expect and what our expectations are for this next year, but I want to thank Elder Russell. He's not here this evening, but I want to thank him for, or this morning, but he had a great message on Wednesday night, and he preached on our theme for this year of expect. Expectation. There's a level of expectation. I can feel it and you can feel it. But I believe that God has a word of caution for us this morning. Now understand that I believe we need to be cautious, and there's a big difference between cautious and reluctant. I didn't say we need to be reluctant this morning. We need to be cautious. There's a big difference in those two. I'm reminded as to when Israel crossed over into Canaan, the first big test for them was to take Jericho, and God gave Joshua a plan, and they followed that plan down to the minute detail to full completion, and God gave them a great victory. And the next city in line was just a small suburban city of Jericho called Ai. And there at Ai, Joshua did not seek the counsel of God. He did not go before God and ask God for a battle plan, because it was such a small city. He listened to his generals. His general says, it's a small city. Send maybe 3,000 men up there, for surely we will be able to conquer such a small town. He sent 3,000 men, and they were soundly defeated. In fact, the only time you hear of any life lost in the whole conquest of Canaan was in the Battle of Ai, when I believe 36 men lost their lives due to Joshua not seeking after the will of God. He was a little bit overconfident. He was not cautious. He was as he should have been. I believe that as Joshua, after this great victory and after the bitter defeat, the Bible tells us that Joshua fell to the ground and he cried out to God. And the old past began to flood back into his memory. It had been a long time since they had left Egypt, some 40 years earlier. They had wandered in the wilderness. He no doubt remembered when they went back as a spy, as a young man, and he went in and spied out the land with the other 11 spies. And he was so excited about the great victory at Jericho, and now they were soundly defeated in Ai. And as he lays there on the ground and he cries out to God, no doubt fear began to come back into his heart, and frustration began to seep into his mindset, and great discouragement swept throughout the camp. The title of this message this morning, I would like to title this, Coming to the End of Self. This is the discouragement test. This should have been last Sunday morning, but we didn't have it last Sunday morning. But I believe as we go into our final 7 days or 6 days, our final push to the finish, to the completion of this mission that God has us on, that discouragement may set in. You may have come in here this morning and you heard the music playing and you heard and felt perhaps the Spirit of God flowing through this place, but you yourself personally didn't feel that. You see, discouragement is defined as the act of disheartening or depriving of courage, that which abates or destroys courage, to deprive of confidence. Maybe over the past month or over the past few months, there has been situations in your life that has deprived you of your confidence. I want to take and I want to assure you this morning that Jesus Christ is in this place and His power is here, and His power can do anything. It can restore. It can rebuild. At some point in life, every individual, every Christian will face a test of discouragement. Our flesh, when we become discouraged, our flesh, we tend to dwell on the gloom, and we dwell on the despair and the agony and this defeat and this depression just seemingly just wraps itself around us like a straitjacket and just binds us. And we come into the power where we can feel the power and the presence of God. And we're so bound that we can't even break free and lift our hands up to worship God. As we look into the New Testament as to how discouragement was translated, it's translated in the New Testament as to faint or to grow weary. And many times we have become tired. Throughout this fast, there are times that I have just become tired. I have grown weary. And I've said, I can't believe I'm going to bed this early at night, but I am tired and I am weary. Sometimes we become to the point to where we just maybe perhaps we even just collapse in our tiredness. In the physical sense, we become that way, but we can become that way also in the spiritual sense, in our spiritual lives. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, seeing not we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. We grow weary, not. We have strength. We're not going to faint. We're going to keep pushing on. Because after this, after the completion of these 21 days, there is more to be fought. This is not the end, church. I'm trying to warn you. This is not the end. This is the beginning of our battles. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You may be tired and worn out when you come in here on the outside, but on the inside, there's something that should be reaching out. There's something on the inside of us that should be, when we feel and we feel the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost, that we're able to take and lift our hands. And even though we're tired on the outside, when we become refreshed on the inside and we start to feel the power of the Holy Ghost flow through us, we get strength on the outside so he can strengthen the inner man and he can strengthen the outer man. Looking into the Old Testament, we find a story that many of us know well, reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. I want to give you a little bit of a backstory while you turn there. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, had just completed probably his greatest feat as a prophet. He had a showdown with the wicked Jezebel's false prophets and soothsayers and magicians on top of Mount Carmel, and God proved himself through a simple 54-word prayer. And all of the 450 prophets that were up there, at the end of the day, he took and drew out his sword and he slaughtered all of the false prophets of Jezebel. The power of God showed up on the mountain that day through fire, and a pillar of fire came from the heavens down and it consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the rocks. It consumed the water in the trench around it. It cleaned up everything. He just completed a victory as such. And this is where we're entering into what I want to term as our life lesson for today. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Ahab was Jezebel's wicked husband, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." What she has threatened him with is that I'm going to take and I'm going to hunt you down. And what you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you. I'm going to send a hit squad out and I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. Now you would think, after what just happened, that there would have been something in him that rose up and said, "You think so, Jezebel? Bring it on. Bring it on. I've been waiting for this showdown." And the angel of the Lord, excuse me, I jumped ahead here. And when he saw that, he arose. And what did he do? He fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself. He asked God, "God, would you just please kill me? I'd rather you kill me than she kill me." He requested for himself that he might die, and he said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for am I not better than my fathers?" And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, and then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." I would love to have that happen this afternoon. I would probably do that because an angel of the Lord is not going to tempt me. And he looked and behold, there was a cake. The angel already got up and the angel had him a cake baked. A Betty Crocker. On the coals, and he had a cruise of water. He had a pitcher of water there for him at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat. There's still some food left here. Eat it all." And he did. "Eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and he did eat and drink, and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Meaning that God gave him a meal that sustained his body for 40 days and 40 nights. 7 more to go. God can do the same for us. Unto Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came hither, thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So here he's crying out to God and he's saying, God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. There's no one else but me. God, I'm just discouraged. Jezebel's after me. I know you gave me enough food to eat and it's nourished me for 40 days, but God, I sure would like to go back home, but I can't go back there. You see, just a few days ago, he had the greatest victory in his life. Now he's in a cave, cowering, afraid, and fearful, running from his enemy, discouraged as a man can get. Sits down under a juniper tree, and he just freezes up. He wants to die. I heard it said that fear has 2 meanings. The first meaning of fear is forget everything and run. The second meaning is face everything and rise. Elijah wanted to forget everything and run, but I believe God is calling us today, church, to face everything and rise. Elijah chose to forget and run. Fear will do a lot to a person. Fear is the expectation and apprehension of impending danger, dread, or anxiety. I've talked with my father-in-law quite extensively. He's a veteran of World War II, and he fought through. He landed in Europe in a glider plane in Holland, and fought his way from Holland all the way to the Berchtesgaden, Germany, where he ended up his last days in Germany. He spoke a lot about fear and what fear will do to an individual. Some people literally just freeze up. They can't move. You can't get them to move. They throw down their weapon. They throw off their helmet and they run for their lives. He says, I've seen all kinds of men react all different ways in fear. Other men, seemingly, when fear overtakes them, it seems like they have an adrenaline rush. And although they are afraid, it's like something rises up within them. And they determine that I am not going to die in battle today. I am going to live another day. And they charge headlong into the enemy and destroy the enemy. Fear most times will produce weakness, a feebleness, or the limp in one's hands. We read of Zephaniah, who's a minor prophet in the Old Testament, in his book, chapter 3, verse 16. Jerusalem, the time is coming when he will said unto you, don't be discouraged or grow weak from fear. He's trying to encourage Jerusalem. We also read in another minor prophet, Habakkuk. I don't know what his mom was thinking. She must have liked the letter K. I find it odd that it's the same number of scripture, verses 3:16. When I heard this message, I felt weak from fear. And my lips quivered, my bones seemed to melt, and I stumbled around. But I will patiently wait. Someday those vicious enemies will be struck by disaster. Fear paralyzes an individual into activity. Fatigue is the exhaustion of strength, of emotions, of will, and the body. And we read that Elijah was exhausted in his mind, his will, and his body was spent. And there are times that we all feel like when we're tired and worn out, and we need to take some time to rest and refresh us and restore our strength. We need to take the time to take care of our physical health. If there's one thing I've learned in this fast, is that I can go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up in the morning and not be tired. Instead of going to bed at 2 o'clock and try to wake up at the same time in the morning. I think a lot of times our tiredness is brought on by two things. This is just a little info commercial. Number one, we don't get enough sleep. And number two, we don't eat right. And that affects us. And it affects us in a big way. Take time to eat right and to sleep right after 21 days. Unless you're on the Daniel's fast, you're already learning about that. How many of you are Daniel fasting? I tell you, I got so sick of beans. Got so sick of rice. I finally told my wife, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I've split my fast into two different sections. And I said, I'm just going to go into section two because I'm sick of all of this. I could never be a vegan. If you're here this morning and you live a vegan diet, listen, my hat is off. My hat's off to you. My boots are off to you. I mean, my suit coat's off to you. I'm not going to go much further than that. Maybe my tie, but listen, congratulations. It's whooping me. And we wonder why we get sick so often. You see, God gives us a body and we need to take care of that body. We really do. And there are times and so many times when we're younger and we feel like our bodies, we can go 24/7. We can work round the clock. Working with these guys in the kitchen starting at 7 in the morning and quitting at 3 and 4 in the morning and be back at 7 to start all over again. Listen, it catches up to an old guy. It caught up to these young guys too. They found out they're not quite as young as they thought that they were. Right, Brother Jason? Eat a healthy diet, exercise, and get enough sleep. Fatigue affects us physically. It affects us emotionally, mentally, and it can affect us spiritually. A lot of times people commonly call fatigue, they just say they burned out. It occurs when we have depleted our strengths and we have no reservoirs from which to draw more strength. We can become physically fatigued. We can become spiritually fatigued. And when we become spiritually fatigued, it leads to frustration. And when we become physically fatigued, it leads to frustration. And frustration leads to a loss of morale. And a loss of morale often leads to rash actions. This is a little bit of review from our frustration method. So don't become tired. Don't give up. When we face discouragement, discouragement can cause you to feel forsaken. It can cause you to feel deserted. It can cause you to feel abandoned. I love the scripture, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I love that. I love that. Be strong and of good courage and fear not. Don't be afraid of whatever it is that's coming against you. Don't be afraid of whatever it is that's fighting your family. Don't be afraid of whatever spirits that you're battling in your flesh, that you're battling in your spirit. We are going through a 21-day battle of intense proportions. Don't be afraid. We cannot allow discouragement to gain a foothold. Webster's Dictionary on discouragement. I know we gave a definition of discouragement, but a Webster's definition. But what discouragement is I believe for the most part, for a Christian is a when your faith wanes and there's a lack of faith and there's a lack of trust and God's will to provide in your time of need. And then we become discouraged because we don't believe that God can do what God said he will do. We struggle with that. We become discouraged, disheartened, deprived of courage. Our confidence begins to wane and our trust in God fails. I don't know about you, but I hate failing. I hate it. I absolutely hate having to do things over again. Although I said I wasn't going to talk about food, I would eat a piece of pumpkin pie over again. I'm waning here, folks. 7 more days. Listen, failure's a part of life. It really is. I've said this before. You know how you learn to walk? By falling down. Because you fail. You get tired of failing. Failure's a part of life. Most of the time when we quit, we say that we just quit. Well, I didn't feel that I could do that, so I just quit. You quit because you didn't want to admit that you failed. You need to just call it what it is. I failed at a task. Failure's part of life. It's going to happen. So why does God test us in our moment of failure? Why does God test us in our moment of doubt? Why does God test us in our moment of fatigue? Why does God test us? He tests us in our moments of discouragement to find out where our true joy in life lies. He wants to know, is the joy of the Lord in you? Do you really have my joy? Are you really manifesting my spirit in your life? He wants to find out what makes us happy when our blessings aren't flowing. He wants to find out what we're in this for. We go through a period, a process of testing, and God is testing us as a church. He wants to find out exactly where do our loyalties lie. Remember Job. Life was pretty good for Job until he was tested by God. And then everything fell apart. He lost everything but his wife. And she was on his case constantly for one solid year. 1 year. She never let up. What did you do wrong, Job? What today? What happened? Remember the life we used to have, Job? It was pretty sweet, Job. What did you do? How did you fail God? She just constantly nagged on him. I don't want to ask the men today how many men go through that. Put it, work that on your flesh and your fast. Work that out, okay? You guys are kind of serious a little bit this morning. I'm happy this morning. I'm excited. I can see Job as he's lying there on the ground. His friends come to visit him and they sit there for 1 week, I believe. And they don't say a word to him. And they just stare at him in disbelief. Boy, what a way to discourage somebody. Imagine you're sick, boils all over your body. You're having to scrape yourself with an old broken pot. Pus from those boils just oozing out. Bugs and flies. Your friends come. And they sit down on a 5-gallon bucket out in your front yard. Your yard's all dead. What used to be beautiful and manicured, taken care of by multiple servants. Your bushes, everything's dead and died. Nothing's alive. And here you are laying on the ground, pitiful, and they sit on a bucket and they look at you for 5 days in disbelief. What a way to encourage a man. And then his wife comes out. Lord, have mercy on the poor man. You see, life was pretty good until he was tested. But you see, it wasn't Satan's idea, it was God's idea. God even brought it up. Have you considered my servant Job? God says, there's something in that man, Satan, that no matter what you do to him, you can't drive it out. We need to strengthen our resolve here this last week of this fast. We need to take, listen, church, there needs to be something in us that no matter how tempted we are, no matter how frustrated we become, no matter how discouraged we become, there needs to be a resolve in us that says, I am not giving up. I am not quitting. I am not going to fail. I am going to work this, win this. I'm all the way to victory! The Bible teaches us to wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. The Hebrew word here used for wait means to bind together by twisting, like you would bind together a rope or a cable. It means to wait upon the Lord to renew your strength. Expect, gather together, look patiently, and tarry. We read in 1 Samuel 30, verse chapter 30, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, and the soul of all the people were grieved. David, he was living, running from Saul. He was already in a discouraged state of mind. Victories were few and far between. Saul had been chasing him and his family and his band of mighty men that have stuck with him. And while they were out attacking the Philistines, the enemy came in to their camp and kidnapped all of their wives and children and cattle and everything they had and took it away. They come back from their raid and find out their camp deserted. The enemy had been there, and all of his men that would fight with him till death gathered together and started discussing whether or not they should stone him to death. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, for all, because the soul of all the people, they were grieved. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I can see him as he walked away from his mighty men of valor as tears were running down his face. He was discouraged. He was frustrated. He was tired. He was worn out. He was defeated. He lifts his face to the heavens and no doubt remembers a simpler time of days gone past when he sat out and played his harp or played his flute and he sang and worshiped God before the sheep as he tended, and he began to say, I will extol you, O God, my King, and I will bless you. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of all of your majesty and your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. I may be discouraged. I may be down. I may be beat, but the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger, and he is great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. I may have lost my wife. I may have lost my children. All of our wives and children. Everything we have is gone. But I will take, and his tender mercies are all over his works. And all works shall praise you, O Lord. And your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. How many of you talk of the power and the glory of an almighty God? And the Lord upholds all who fall and raises all of those who are bowed down. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear the cry and save them. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And while his men are pondering on whether or not they should stone him, David is over there and he's lifted himself and he's lifted his hands and he's got his back to his men and his hands are raised in the air and he begins to worship God. He begins to praise God. He begins to thank God and says, God, Lord, I am so thankful. Lord, I am so unworthy. Lord, I thank you. You are might, Lord. You are great. You are wonderful. You are mighty to be praised. How many of us this morning, in the midst of our discouragement, will just lift up your hands and just lift up your voice and just begin to praise him? As our musicians come, just begin to praise him. Lift up your hands. You're sick and tired of the enemy destroying you. You're sick and tired of the enemy getting in and wreaking havoc in your life. You're tired. You're sick of it. You're tired of being discouraged. You're tired of being whipped. You're tired of being frustrated. I want you to come and I want you to start to lift your hands. I want you to start to worship God. You don't have to say anything, but I thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I ask you, God, to give me strength, Lord. Give me power, God. I can do this, Lord. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Lord, I thank you, God. I worship you, God. You need a healing. You need a healing in your body this morning. I challenge you. Get up and start to worship God. Put your hands in the air and start to thank God. Start to thank God. Thank him for what he's going to do. I can do wondrous, and I can do great, and I can do mighty things. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 You may have come in here discouraged. You may have come in here down. You may have come in here beat, but you don't have to leave here discouraged. You don't have to leave here down. You don't have to leave here beat. I will sing unto the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. I will make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I will serve the Lord with gladness. I will come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter into his courts with praise. I will be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. If you need prayer this morning, God says he's going to come running to us. I believe that God wants to do some wondrous and some great and some mighty things. We don't have to wait for the end of this. We're in battle right now. We're going to go into that tonight a little bit more in detail. But you don't have to wait till the end of 21 days to get what God has for you. I want to encourage you to come on down to this altar and begin to lift your hands up and begin to worship God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I see heaven invading this place. And I see angels, the praising your holy name. I sing praises. I sing praises.